Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show. We don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. No, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's so good to have you back here at the new international world global headquarters of the Weekly Worldview and the brand new Worldview Studios. Studios are a work in progress, not fully soundproof yet. So if you hear chickens and or ducks in the background, just know that this is a work in progress. If you hear artillery or helicopter gunfire in the background, know that this is a work in progress. We hope to soundproof the studios as soon as possible. And we'll get to the news of the day. We will, indeed. But let me start out with drummers. Now, I don't want to offend any drummers out there, because I like drummers. A good rhythm section is the heart of any band. But if you hire a handyman and he confesses up front that he is a drummer or any other type of musician, I think this may extend to other types of musicians as well. Don't expect anything to be done too quickly. That's all. You just have to be patient. Yes, the drummer will say he's going to show up early tomorrow so he can get a head start on the project, and then he'll come in around one or maybe a little later than one. But he will stay late into the night with lights on and reggae music playing. So anyway, nothing against drummers in general, just our personal experience, that's all. So just a little heads up to those of you who may not have hired amateur musicians before, but they're not the most ambitious people on the planet. Maybe when they're behind the drum kit they are, but not when they're swinging a hammer. All right, should we get to the news of the day? I suppose we should. We're going to go into outer space for the science maybe file. Yeah, science maybe. That's right, because Betelgeuse may explode at any moment. Betelgeuse, you'll remember, is a large red star out there in space. And over the past few months, it's been getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And according to CNET.com, some astronomers are wondering if it might be in the process of the collapse that precedes a supernova. Yeah, that's what they're wondering. Now, when it does go supernova, it is expected to result in a dramatic light show that could be visible in daylight and appear brighter than the full moon for a few weeks. Wow. The last time humans got to see a supernova was it back in the 17th century. So that would be in the 1600s. For those of you who matriculated in the government schools, the 17th century would be 16-something. Yes. The sudden fainting of Betelgeuse could also have a less catastrophic explanation. Hence why this story landed in the science maybe file. It could be that it's just going through an extended 430-day pulsation, and it should reach its dimmest point this week, February 21st, with a margin of error about a week on either side, proving that we don't really know much about what's going on with Betelgeuse. And even the expert astronomers, who everyone thinks knows everything about the universe, like when it began and how old it is and all that, they don't even know what's going on with Betelgeuse, a star that they can observe right now. And they're not really that sure about it. So anyway, just don't take every scientist's ruminations as if they were the gospel, as if they were handed down from Moses on the mountain, because they pretty much don't know what's going on with most things, just so you know. So I just want to, it's like me with my trailer lights. So whenever the McBurneys fled the previous McBurney compound, we left with a horse trailer attached to an SUV that contained over 50 chickens, 6 goats, 3 ducks, 2 peahens, 2 rabbits, and 3 parakeets. Is there anyone I missed? Oh, and three children and a woman and me. And what's that now? No, I got the rabbits in there. Oh, yeah, the rabbits. I wouldn't forget about them. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got everybody. Where was I going? Oh, the horse trailer. So we bought a horse trailer, which I've never operated a horse trailer before. And so we hooked that horse trailer up. You see, there's a little dongle on the back of the horse trailer, on the front of the horse trailer, that it plugs into a plug on the back of your truck, and that powers the brake lights and the running lights and the lights on the trailer. And so for the first time in my career, I hooked up an actual trailer to make an actual road trip. And we left the McBurney compound and we drove for approximately 3 hours. Was it 3 hours? Yeah, about 3 hours. Until we needed our first fill up for gas, where we stopped to fill up for gas. I got out of the truck, and as I was pumping the gas, I just went to check the situation, make sure everything's copacetic back there. Make sure everything's good. So anyway, I look, and what had happened was somewhere about 3 hours earlier, that dongle had come unplugged from the truck and had been dragging along the freeway at approximately 80 miles an hour for approximately 3 hours. And so it was ground down to a flat little nub. It was all that was left of it. That's all that was left, flat little nub. And we had no brake lights for the last, 150 miles or whatever it was. And it was dark. It was 8 o'clock at night, something like that. And we were all delirious. I can't believe I was driving. That was a danger to society right there. So we had to go to a auto parts store there and get another. And it was freezing, too, by the way. Freezing cold. Brutal, brutal cold. And dark. Did I mention it was dark? Dark and cold. Had to go to an auto parts store, get a new dongle, and attach that to. Had to chop it and splice it and tape it and wrap it and crimp it and shove it and cram it. And anyway, I plugged that thing into the back of that truck, the second dongle. And then I strapped it down with enough electrical tape to probably seal up a submarine with as much tape as we end up using. And then the whole rest of the trip was uneventful as far as the trailer lights. So there. I know, I wanted to tell stories of our trip out here last week, but I don't know, I was off my game last week. Probably shouldn't even done the show last week. Probably should have just waited. It was too cold anyways. All right, from here, let's go. Let's forget the trailer lights and the drummers and the handymen, and we'll go into the war file where Israel has developed a laser that can shoot down drones. And I just think that's cool. Yeah. They have a drone defense system over there called Drone Dome. You know, they have the Iron Dome for missiles. Now they have the Drone Dome. And the manufacturer and the Israeli Defense Force released a video of a recent demonstration of the system. And the stages of the interception included target detection, identification, and interception. That's right. Including, they intercepted drones, including drones that were zigzagging, drones that were flying in formation. All these drones were shot down with a laser in rapid succession. And I don't know, there's not much else to this story except that, hey, they're shooting stuff down with drones, or they're shooting stuff down with lasers, I should say. And that's just interesting. According to the New York Post, previous reports have said that the system can melt drones for hard kills, but can also carry out soft kills by using high-tech electronic systems that enable operators to interfere with the signals of hostile drones and even take control of them, which is all very interesting and probably more complex to pull off, more technically challenging. But the melting it with the laser is definitely the cooler way to go. Yeah. Now, the system can detect objects as small as 6 inches square, from about 2 miles away. So they could detect your belt buckle from 2 miles away and melt it with a laser if they wanted to. Well, I guess if it was flying around like a drone. Anyway, that's just pretty interesting. Israel's a very, very tiny country surrounded by enemies. And if there was anyone who needed the ability to defend themselves with laser weapons, it would be the Jews in Israel. They certainly need it, and it looks like they've developed it, and I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. All right, so that's good news that the Jews can shoot down hostile drones with a laser. But then there's not so good news from the war file. Another insider attack in Afghanistan. Two U.S. soldiers and an Afghan soldier were killed when another Afghan soldier in uniform opened fire on them with a machine gun in eastern Afghanistan. Six U.S. service members and three other Afghan soldiers were also wounded. Another green-on-blue attack, as they've been called. And Newsmax notes that these attacks have been a regular feature of the conflict in Afghanistan. A regular, terrifying, sad, scary feature. The attacker was killed. The provincial council member there, one of the Afghan governing officials, said that the Islamist fighter had infiltrated the Afghan security forces, as we've heard, I don't know, dozens of times before. I just don't know how our troops even function over there. The latest shooting comes at a delicate time. With the American and Taliban negotiators pushing for a peace deal. So America is negotiating with the Taliban for a peace deal. That's pretty hard to read, especially after an Islamist kills two, wounds. It's just unbelievable that we're negotiating with them. We should call all the Taliban to one grand negotiation. Yeah. And then finish that negotiation in a moment, and then be done with them, and then just leave and let them butcher each other. Let one Islamist group butcher the other for a few years, and then the other will butcher the other for a few years. It'll go on like that for a few centuries, and then it'll get worse. All right. By the way, about 14,000 U.S. troops are still stationed in Afghanistan. Almost 20 years after 9/11, and the war is not won. In fact, we're negotiating with a government that we at one point had chased so deep in the caves you couldn't find them with a GPS. And now we're negotiating a peace deal with them. That's pretty embarrassing. I'm sorry, it's embarrassing for me as an American. You would think that we could have got that and taken care of, but no, we can't. America lacks the moral capital and the moral certitude, quite possibly to ever win a war again. We may never be able to actually win a war again. And that's kind of depressing, but hey, at least I'm too old to have to go fight in it. I mean, unless they come here and I end up having to defend this position. All right, now speaking of defending a position, more from the war file, Fox News reports that the gunman who targeted New York City police officers in back-to-back shootings this past weekend, two weekends ago, he wounded the two officers. He has a history of violence that includes a prior gun battle against cops and an attempted murder conviction. This was going to go in the justice file, but I couldn't find any justice. And it seemed more like a war zone, so that's why it's coming out of the war file. The suspect carried out two assassination attempts on uniformed police officers in the Bronx less than 12 hours apart. Well, this lowlife had been paroled in 2017 after an attempted murder conviction in 2002. Yeah. Police identified him as just some lowlife scum. I'm not going to read his name aloud. I'm not going to give him any press. In 2002, he shot a man and then carjacked a woman. He crashed the car and then traded gunfire with the New York City police. And this guy's allowed to live after doing all that. That's amazing. Since his parole, he has one other recorded arrest for which he was scheduled to appear in court, but instead decided to start shooting policemen. Only after running out of bullets did this madman lay down on the ground and surrender. That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that, It's unfortunate that he is still breathing and alive and walking around on the face of the earth. He should have been executed shortly after his conviction of the crimes he committed back in 2002. He shot a man and carjacked a woman. Those are both attempted murder. Then he trades gunfire with the police and he's still allowed to live? It's no wonder that the asylum is being overrun by the inmates. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm the host of the Weekly Worldview, Doug McBurney. We're hanging in there. We're going to get through this together. It's tough out here, I'll tell you what. All right, let's see. Do you want to know the worst time to find out that the horn on your vehicle does not work? The worst time to find that out is when you are at an intersection and a kid who looks to be about the age of 18 is turning left, right in front of you, in a giant long semi-truck, and it's obvious he doesn't realize that he is going to hit you. That's what I found out. I went to hit the horn, and nothing. Nothing. And I looked up at this kid. He had pimples on his face, and I'm thinking, this is the first time this kid's ever driven a semi. I slammed the truck in reverse, and barely missed me by a hair's breadth, I'll tell you. It was scary. And I had a trailer on the back of the truck, for crying out loud. Anyway, it would have been wise for me before I headed out on the road trip to make sure that the horn worked. But I use the horn so infrequently because I hate it when people use a horn for no good reason. You know, traffic is slow, so they hit the horn. Like, oh, that helps. That helps a lot. That'll get things moving. But there is a time when you need a horn, when you're about to be struck by someone who a horn blast could prevent an accident. And there I was, had it hanging out there, and boy, just I really dodged a bullet on that one. Anyway, that's the so I've covered that, the worst time for your. And then I already covered the drummer. Right now, one good thing about this drummer handyman that we hired is he is a very level-headed. I shouldn't say level-headed. I don't really know that. He has a very even keel. He's not too excitable. He doesn't freak out about stuff. So unlike myself, I tend to get tense and grip and freak out about things. I'll admit it. That's the way I am. Anyway, we rented a mini excavator, pretty much out of sheer ignorance rather than anything else, and just because I thought it would be cool to, instead of digging with a shovel, to have a giant machine that I could sit on and ride around and dig. And so we rent this mini excavator, and I roll it down the hill. Never been on a mini excavator in my life. The folks at Home Depot had no business renting me a mini excavator without giving me some sort of class first on center of gravity and things like that. So I get it down the hill and I begin to dig. And as I'm moving forward to proceed to the next portion to dig, this, I believe it is a 2.5-ton machine, tips over on its side and I'm in the seat. As soon as I hit the ground, my daughter screamed bloody murder. And then the drummer says, "You're okay, right?" And I said, "I am okay." I was kind of surprised. So as the excavator began to tip, I was wearing my seatbelt, fortunately. And as the excavator began to tip over and I realized we were past the center of gravity, we were indeed going to hit the earth. And this all happened in the course of less than 2 seconds. But I did the calculations in my head. I looked at the ground. I looked at the roll bar. I looked at the seatbelt. I thought about jumping. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to curl up in a ball and stay right here. And then, bam, hit the ground. "You're okay, right?" "Yeah, actually, I am okay. Actually, I was hurt a little bit. I bruised my arm and my head slightly. but could have definitely been crushed to death right in that moment, not realizing. Anyway, and then that was a $1,000 mistake because I had to call what's that TV show? I had to call a Highway Through Hell crew to come and turn that excavator right side up before it, I don't know, it could have blown up or been ruined for life. Anyway, the lessons that cost you the most in life are the ones that you learn and that stick with you more deeply than any others. And so next time I need an excavator, I will hire a man who excavates. And he can bring his excavator. I will not be doing that again. And I will say that later on in the day, once we got it tipped up and we were foolish enough to think that we could actually finish the job, the bird whisperer took over on the excavator and she said, "Dad, you stay over there. I got this." And she did a much better job because she was very slow and she was deliberative and she did not take any chances. But eventually we realized that it was just the wrong tool for the job. And so, anyway, but I do have a cool video of the bird whisperer running an excavator, which that was worth the price of admission right there. But no, we'll never publish that. That's home video for home use only. All right. So there you go. Almost died. All right. We'll get to some politics later. But first, let's go into the justice file where country singer Daniel Lee Martin. Have you ever heard of Daniel Lee Martin? He said he is extremely attractive. Mm-hmm. Audio engineer.
Country.
No. Well, he, according to Fox News, Daniel Lee Martin, country singer, has died by suicide. That's the new way they put it now. They don't say he killed himself. They don't say he committed suicide. They say he has died by suicide, as if he was maybe on vacation in a foreign country and he caught suicide and he came home and he died from it. It's like that. But this was definitely an intentional suicide. This wasn't like an accidental suicide like other country singers have participated in with a bottle of rum in the back of a Cadillac. No. This fellow, his body was found by police officers when they arrived at his property to serve multiple arrest warrants on this country singer. He was being served warrants for some crimes that I don't even know that I want to get into. 3 counts of sexual exploitation on a minor, 3 counts of aggravated sexual battery, 1 count of solicitation of a minor to commit the rape of a child. Wow. So another child porn, child rapist. He was also accused of assaulting 3 children under the age of 13 back in 2014. He was scheduled for trial next month. Next month, the cops went to take him in, and he shot himself in the head. He killed himself is what he did. He committed suicide. A cowardly act of a cowardly lowlife man who no doubt, like everyone else in his generation, me included, grew up in a culture saturated with pornography. And some people just go off the rails when that, and this guy's one of them. And it's just, he got the punishment that he deserved, and he got a punishment that he would have never gotten had he actually gone to trial. Because he's dead, and he's facing the ultimate judge now. And that would have been delayed for 30, 40 years had he gone to trial and actually gone to prison. If he'd have gone to prison, who knows these days. He might have been involved in some prison reform a few years down the road, and he might have gotten out in just a few years. All right. Sick and disgusting. All right. You know what it is that it's well known amongst people who have these proclivities against children. It's well known that that sort of thing is generally tolerated. Yes, it's frowned upon. You could get in trouble. You might even end up in jail, but it's generally tolerated. The state of mind of a man like this with those type of proclivities should be to know that if he even tries it and he's found out, he'll be executed quickly and painfully. That would have saved this guy from becoming a low-life criminal. It would have saved the children that he abused. It would have saved all of us from having had to go through even hearing about that because it permanently stains your mind just to hear those kinds of stories. It's sad. All right. Now, we go from there into the politics file, where a state representative from Birmingham, Alabama, named Rolanda, has filed a bill that would mandate that every Alabama man undergo a vasectomy within 1 month of his 50th birthday, or within 1 month of the birth of his third biological child, whichever comes first. That's right. Now, you can imagine this is something of a political stunt. Yes, Rolanda is trying to make a statement about women's reproductive rights, as she puts it. Mm-hmm. Yes. She says there are no restrictions on the reproductive rights of men. That's in the introduction to her bill. And she says the vasectomy must be paid for by the man. That's right. The vasectomy should occur at the respective man's own expense. That's how a lawyer says he's got to pay for it. Uh-huh. Let's see now. Democrats in the Alabama legislature last year brought up the possibility of introducing such a bill during the abortion debate known as the Human Life Protection Act, which was some other fake, phony, pro-life industry regulation of the murder of innocent people. And but even fake, phony regulations freak out the hardcore, rabid, frothing-at-the-mouth abortionists like State Rep. Rolanda Hollis. Mm-hmm. And many, many others in the Democrat Party. And we'll get to that. Oh, by the way, so speaking of the Democrat Party, should I address this now? Let me see what I got going here. No, let me address this after this story, because it'll be much more appropriate to talk about Bernie and Hillary after this. Reason number 1,119, to get or keep your children out of any publicly funded educational establishment of any kind. And exhibit one is philosophy professor Patricia McCormack of Anglia Ruskin University over in the United Kingdom. She has written a manifesto. She calls it the A Human Manifesto, Activism for the End of the Activism for the End of the Anthropocene. That's you and me, folks. They consider us Anthropocene. So she's an evolutionist who believes that, well, she describes herself as old school goth. Okay. So you know you're in a post salvageable civilization when a philosophy professor says she is old school goth. That's G-O-T-H. If you're over 60, look it up. It's scary and creepy. If you're under 50, you know exactly what goth is. And if goth is a philosophy professor, surely all is lost. Professor Patricia says the only way to save the planet is to stop having children and allow humans to become extinct. And by the way, she is not a hypocrite. She has no children of her own, nor shall she. So at least her genetic line is set to go extinct in relatively short order. Let's see. Professor Patricia, let's go with Patty, since she's such an upbeat gal. Professor Patty says that she actively embraces issues like human extinction, vegan abolition, atheist occultism, death studies, deep ecology, and the apocalypse as an optimistic beginning. Okay. Well, see, there's one place where she actually agrees with Christian theology, that the apocalypse is an optimistic beginning. In one way, it's one way to look at it, you know. For many, many people, the apocalypse is going to be a tragic and horrific end. But for others, it's an optimistic beginning. But my guess is that Professor Patty will not be in the latter group. She will be in the former, yes. She says, due to global overpopulation, giving birth is the worst thing you can do to the planet. Not for the planet, to the planet. That's right. She claims she's not advocating wiping out the existing population, but rather just letting it die off. Her manifesto, she says, is not about violent acts against anyone. It is simply antinatalist. It boycotts human reproduction due to the damage humans have perpetrated on the Earth and its other inhabitants. Talk about a guilt trip. You know, people joke about the fact that Catholics are given a heavy dose of guilt trip early on in life and they remain guilt-ridden their entire lives? Well, if you think Catholics have guilt issues, check out the relatively wealthy atheists and old school goths who are now running the university system. Now, there are some serious guilt issues. That's right. It's the worldview, and Professor Patty, she doesn't even want a friend. No, she doesn't. She just wants to die lonely, and that more than likely will be her lot in life, unless something dramatically changes. And it's probably not going to change, because all the people around her think she's great, and they're buying her book. Heck, she's employed by a university. In fact, Anglia Ruskin University holds up Professor Patty. They hold up her ideas on climate, her expertise in feminism, queer theory, post-human ethics, animal studies, horror films, and trans rights, just to make sure she's a well-rounded philosophy professor circa 2020. Gotta have those trans rights in there. Yeah. You're going to die lonely and old after a long life of misery and suffering, Professor Patty. And having inflicted that misery and suffering on countless hundreds or thousands of students, which is just sad. All right. Now, speaking of horror films and post-human ethics and queer theory, feminism and all that, let's go to the politics file where I saw the headline. Michael Bloomberg is considering Hillary Clinton as a running mate. Yes.
That's a horror film.
Yes. Speaking of horror films, right? Yes. I mean, you could just look at those two and they look like someone has already murdered them.
Well,
Hillary has murdered other people. Yeah. She hasn't murdered Michael Bloomberg yet.
I see.
No, I'm saying they look like they were both murdered and they were discovered. And then they were propped up on a furniture dolly and rolled out on the stage. All right, but not to make fun of people's physical appearance. We never do that here on The Worldview. But I just find it fascinating. Number one, I suspect that it's pure clickbait on behalf of the newspapers that are just tanking and going bankrupt. And the websites who can't figure out how to monetize the news. And they're just desperate to get people to click through. And so they gin up a story like this, maybe just out of whole cloth. I don't know that it has any truth to it at all. But I didn't listen to any talk radio. I haven't listened to talk radio for a while now. Because I'm busy doing other things and I'm not in the car as much as I used to be. But I know how this cycle works now. Somebody gins up a story that's relatively thin, may or may not be true. It dominates the news cycle for 24 hours to 48 hours. And then somewhere within that period, someone gins up another one. And it's always around Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Russia, whatever. All the same cast of characters that's been propping up ratings for the last 3 years. And this seems like just another one. But I don't, at least it's something that I can make fun of and laugh at. The thought of Michael Bloomberg, billionaire Republican, and maniacal left-wing, baby-killing, blood-sucking murderer Hillary Clinton. Not to put too fine a point on it. For them to come in as the... they're going to come in as the centrists. Two red diaper babies coming in for one last gasp of socialism disguised as centrism. Anyway, whatever happens with Bloomberg and or Hillary or both of them together propped up on a furniture dolly, the only thing I think they're going to prove is that the Democrat establishment, the Democrat, the majority of voters in the Democrat Party are now more like Bernie than like Hillary. Hillary's not quite rabid, froth-at-the-mouth leftist enough for them anymore. And have I made my prediction on the air that the Dems will nominate Bernie Sanders? That's my prediction. I'm standing by it. Yes? If I'm wrong, what do I lose? You people will say McBurney was wrong about that, but that's okay. I'm right about all other stuff, so, you know. But I seriously see it happening. And I think it'll be interesting to see. Well, it's sad in one way. Because if Bernie Sanders actually runs for president as a naked socialist, well, that just pulls the country a one big notch to the left. That means that can be done, and that shouldn't be able to be done. And if that can actually be done, and he can even garner a modest plurality of the vote, he'll lose every state, except maybe a couple northeastern states that with like 80 people and a lot of moose. That's about all. More beavers than people in the states Bernie might carry. But that may bode well for the country that Bernie can't win. But the fact that he can just run openly as a socialist means that we're definitely in a place far, far, far from where we began this journey, boys and girls. That's all. And the fault mostly lies with the Republican Party, the Christian Church, conservatives. That's where the problem lies. Because if conservatives were more effective and more willing to risk their political capital to do right, the Democrats would not have become so flagrantly leftist, socialist, evil, wicked, corrupt. And here's a fine example of the problem is Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell comes to us via Breitbart from the Personhood File, where Mitch McConnell... he plans to schedule conservative votes on two pieces of pro-life legislation. That's right. Why? Well, obviously to bamboozle gullible voters just in time for the campaign season. That's right. He's got one bill that bans abortions, allegedly, after 20 weeks. Bans some abortions after 20 weeks. It bans a few abortions after 20 weeks. Obviously, there are a number of exceptions that civilized, rational people have, like Mitch McConnell, have worked in, but he's going to have a vote on it. That's the big thing. You see, the number of murders of innocent people that the law actually produces, the number of saved lives, that's not nearly as important to Mitch McConnell as holding a big public vote right before the election season. Let's see. The other bamboozle bill that Mitch McConnell plans to hold a vote on, very publicly and loudly, ensures that babies who survive abortions are given appropriate medical care. And so do you hear what just happened there, boys and girls, is that Mitch McConnell endorsed the idea that there is abortion and that there should be abortion. In fact, the bill codifies the concept that abortion is legal. That's what the bill does first. And then it makes some exceptions for some children who may or may not be saved, depending on, you know, circumstances. That's all. Both bills that McConnell's going to have his big pro-life vote on, and all the pro-life industry fundraisers are going to take down notes. They're going to write down quotes. They're going to incorporate them into fundraising letters, send those fundraising letters out, and the millions and millions of dollars are going to pour in to the pro-life industry, and the pro-life industry is going to dole out some of those dollars to Republican candidates so that they can win re-election. And then with other dollars, the pro-life industry is going to fund their retirement. They came to do good, and they've done quite well indeed. Yes. And so that's what's happening. Two laws that confirm the legalization of murdering people will be voted on by the Republicans, and everyone's going to go, rah, rah, pro-life. Rah, rah, the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. Rah, rah, the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. Uh-huh. Bunch of gullible morons. Let's see. Breitbart reports that polling shows, whenever a sentence starts with polling shows, I immediately in the back of my mind say, I don't care. Polling shows. Okay. Polling shows. In 1825, polling showed that the majority thought it was okay to own a black dude and make him work for you for no money. Polls showed it. All right. But they do note that polling shows that most Americans favor abortion restrictions, even those who identify as pro-choice. Which is a funny way to put it, because, of course, if you're for restricting abortion, by definition, you're pro-choice, right? That is what pro-choice is. You're for killing some people, and you may or may not be against killing other people. But, you know, you're a decent human being. Certainly not for killing everyone. Gosh, that'd be a little extreme. Just kill the ones, mostly the one that's really inconvenient for me. I'd like to reserve the right to kill the one that's really, really problematic for me. That's what's deep in the black hearts of people who don't understand that you can't advocate murdering any innocent person. Not one, not a single one, never. That's all. And that's not a high bar, ladies and gentlemen. To not advocate murdering anyone ever, I mean, that's just the foundation of all human civilization, is that we're not going to murder each other. All right. Okay, so from there, from super mega conservative Mitch McConnell and his phony baloney bamboozling scam pro-abort votes, I don't call them pro-life, I call them pro-abort, because I count the ones you want to kill. That's who I identify you with. Not the ones that you may not want to kill, depending on the circumstances. I identify you with the ones you want to kill. And in the case of at least a third of people in society, I identify you with the ones that you did kill. You know, unless you've repented publicly and said you're sorry. Then I'm willing to let God take care of you. Now, we go from there. Another super mega awesome conservative. We go for Donald Trump, who said in an interview that he has no problem with Pete Buttigieg openly being an openly gay man and standing with his husband on stage. It's hard to say that, man. So Donald Trump, not only does he say he's okay with it, no, not only does he say he has no problem with it. So at first he says, I got no problem with it, okay? That's kind of a half-hearted, I'm not really going to endorse it. I'm just not going to, you know, have a problem with it. But Politico then goes on to Fox News' Steve Hilton, who looks like an alien. He looks like he was born from a pod. I don't know where that guy came from. He's not a part of the hotel chain. I don't know. How did that guy get a TV show? Anyway, that's beside the point. Almost unwatchable, unless he has a decent guest, which is almost never. And he's got a show on Fox. All right. Anyway, Steve Hilton asked Trump whether he thinks it's just great. How do I phrase this? Because it's hard to quote Steve Hilton and sound intelligent. He asked Trump in regards to Pete Buttigieg being an open flaming homosexual, publicly married to another man and acting like we're all supposed to act like that's okay. In regards to all that, Steve Hilton asked President Donald Trump whether he thinks it's just great to have it. Not even seen as a big deal for a male presidential candidate to be on stage with his husband? Is it just great? Asked Steve Hilton, which is kind of a loaded question. Kind of loaded, right? It's designed to elicit a specific response. Me, I'd have had that like choking back vomit look where your eyes bug out and your face turns purple for a second. That's what would have happened to me if I'd have been on Steve-O's show that night. But not Donald Trump. He said, I think it's absolutely fine. I think it's absolutely fine. Some people will have a problem with it. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I think it's good. I think it's good. So he goes from, I don't have a problem with it, to I think it's good, which is exactly where Steve-O wanted him to go. So Donald Trump thinks it's good. Okay. So your most conservative president ever, who you're willing to cast your vote for, thinks that a guy prancing around in public, acting like he's married to a man, and having the audacity to run for president in front of God and everybody like that, Donald Trump thinks, not only does he not have a problem with it, he thinks it's good. And then Booty Gag, he says, if me being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade. If you have a problem with who I am, your quarrel, sir, is with my creator. So here's Pete. This is why Poot Beatty Gag, whatever his name is going straight to hell with jet rockets, because he's blaming God for his corrupt and wicked behavior. And that is the definition of blasphemy, and that's the definition of why God sends people like Pete Booty Gag straight to hell. First things first, we're gonna change the rules. Better listen up, all you boys and girls. Your prayer says there'll be no after school. So vote for me, now wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, 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 yeah. And now I know there's trouble in the Middle East. I span on my money when I stop the arms race. All my brothers in the desert gonna have them for the feast. When that's gone, then we'll start a real peace. There we go. It's the weekly review. I was waiting for that. There we go. Thank you, boys. Very much appreciated. Speaking of the president and just politics in general, it's disturbing how the Republican Party has become so liberal, and the boiling frogs out there across America, they don't even realize what's happening. I do. I see what's happening. Like this past week, there was a controversy all over radio and TV about some comments Mike Bloomberg made back a while back. He said something about the way to stop crime is to grab these guys and throw them up against the wall and frisk them. And so at the time he made those remarks, number one, he was a Republican, at least acting like a Republican. He was the Republican mayor of New York City. And all the Republicans said, listen to Mike Bloomberg. He's making sense. Everybody's against stop and frisk, but it really works. It's a conservative. That's what Sean Hannity said. That's what Rush Limbaugh said. Pretty much anyone in the the conservative industry. I've come up with a new term. No, it's the conservatism industry, because it's not actually conservatives. It's not actually conservative. It's the conservatism industry where men make healthy livings acting as if they were conservative and saying things that appeal to the itching ears of conservatives so that people will buy ads on their shows and they'll make a fortune. It's the conservatism industry. And it was on full display this past week when Donald Trump tweeted, I guess they uncovered some... something Mike Bloomberg said about the stop and frisk policy in New York City that he enforced as the mayor, that at the time he said it was interpreted by liberals as racist, you know, because anything you say that makes sense that involves anyone besides white people is racist. And so when Mike Bloomberg said stop and frisk is good and it works, liberals called him racist, conservatives called him conservative. Well, those comments, a tape of those comments came out. Someone in the press released it, And Donald Trump immediately tweets, "Wow, Bloomberg is a total racist." And then he deleted the post because he realized how brazenly politically motivated and just low and dirty and wrong it all looked. So Trump had to delete the tweet, but it's still out there because you can't delete a tweet. A tweet is forever. Yeah, it's like all those naked pictures you're sending around. They're forever, folks. Just watch yourself there. Anyway, do I have anything else on it? Well, basically, the whole conservatism industry, every talking head that I've heard from who's on Trump's side, they're in the bag for Trump 100%. The ones that are, and you know who they are. The Steve Hilton guy is one of them. Who else is that guy on the guy who comes on right after Tucker on Fox News, the guy with the blonde hair? Laura Ingraham. Yeah, Kimberly Guilfoyle, I'm sure, if she was still on TV and she wasn't being passed around by the Trump campaign. Who else? Anyway, the ones that are totally in the tank for Trump, you know who they are. They basically criticize Bloomberg. He then later some comments were unearthed about how Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security were unsustainable. So he said that in 2011, Mike Bloomberg did, in a moment of clarity. He said that all the welfare state basically is unsustainable at current levels. So that tape comes out this week, and all the so-called conservatives who are in the bag for Donald Trump criticize Mike Bloomberg for saying what they've been saying for 25 years, that the welfare state is unsustainable. Just unbelievable. And they tout Trump's promise not to cut Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security. These are the conservatives. Oh, so-called, allegedly, ostensibly conservative. They're not conservatives. Sean Hannity, Steve Hilton, the lesbian from Fox. Not Laura Ingraham. She just looks like a guy. There's another one who's actually a dyke. I can't remember her name. She's got like two male names. Her name's like Steve John or John Steve or something like that. Anyway. Bruce. Tammy Bruce. Okay, one of her names is female. All right. Anyway, I just call her Bruce. We just call her Bruce here in the Worldview. So all these shills who are in the bag for Trump are okay with completely going against everything they've stood for the last 30 years just to try to embarrass Mike Bloomberg, because Mike Bloomberg is the only candidate on the Democrat side who doesn't come off as a completely insane or completely incompetent person or a homo. Which, no matter what the Democrats say about how much they love homos, they know that a homo is going to lose because he's a homo. And there's still enough people out here who, hey, homos make us sick, okay? We don't want that in the White House. All right. Meanwhile, I have I'm not going to do the Catholic. I could care what the bishop of whatever says about how to vote. And, of course, this bishop of the Diocese of San Diego, Robert McElroy, he says, vote for pro-homo, pro-abort politicians, and you'll be doing the will of God, basically, is what he said. You can look it up. I'll post it. I'm not going to get into it because it's just laughable. Meanwhile, we go now to the social suicide file, where Fox News reports that according to a legal loophole still on the books in Virginia, only married couples can legally have sex. So you hear what Fox calls that? According to a legal loophole still on the books in Virginia. No, Fox, that was the law in Virginia for 350 years. It wasn't a legal loophole. That was the law. And if you were having sex outside of marriage, that was illegal. It was a criminal act, as well it should be. But according to Fox, it's a legal loophole. It's a legal loophole accidentally still on the books. Well, Democrats in the House of Delegates have repealed the crime of fornication. They've repealed that loophole, you see. That loophole that's been the law in every civilization for 5,000 years. They finally repealed that silly thing. Anyway, Democrat Delegate Mark Levine, a Jewish man, from whom the criminalization of sex outside of marriage, from whose lineage that idea was first expressed to other humans. It had to be told to them by God, by the way, because men wouldn't have come up with that rule. that you're only supposed to have one wife? No. People wouldn't have. God had to tell him that. In fact, he had to write it in stone and then smash the stone, kill like 2,000 of them, and then put it in stone again for it to take. But Mark Levine, who comes from the tradition that brought us a biblical concept of marriage, says that the idea that unmarried people can't have sex is a stupid law. No one should think they can be prosecuted for this common practice. All right. I wonder how his wife feels about that statement. I'm sure that makes her really happy. Hey, he's probably a homo. The Virginia, I don't know if he's a homo or not, but all right. The Virginia Supreme Court struck down the law in 2005, the law against fornication. And this is now just the legislature coming in to actually remove the ink from the pages, whatever, to actually strike them from the bill now moves on to the Senate, where they're all fornicating and committing adultery left and right. So, all right. Anyway, Massachusetts and Utah repealed similar laws, while Idaho and North Carolina still have similar laws on the books, laws against fornication. You know, folks, if it was commonly understood that sex outside of marriage was a criminal act, it would have saved hundreds of thousands of lives over the past 50 years. People who've been brutally killed or injured or beaten or tortured or just all the things that go along with the hatred and anger that sexual immorality produces. Because you get in a relationship. So why is anyone supposed to get upset if somebody cheats anymore if it's not even illegal? How do we have a right to get upset about it? And that's where we're headed, folks, is that there's not even going to be a stigma against cheating on your girlfriend or boyfriend. Forget if you're married. There's not even going to be a stigma against that. And if you get upset about it, what are you going to base that on? You're not going to base it on the law. Huh? You're going to base it on the Bible? They'll laugh at you. They might hit you with a baseball bat if you bring up the Bible. All right. Meanwhile, speaking of the Bible, The biblical plague of locusts has continued through Uganda, the biggest locust. Now listen to how the biggest locust outbreak in East Africa in decades, which means this has happened before. Mm-hmm. It's happened over and over and over and over and over throughout history that the locusts, they come, right? Anyway, Uganda has decided to deploy military forces to help with ground-based pesticide spraying. They have two planes in Uganda for aerial spraying. Man, rough to be in Uganda. You got swarms of locusts the size of Dallas, like the Dallas metro area. And they have two planes. Boy, I'll tell you what. Bad religion and bad government produces misery on a scale that is incalculable when the circumstances are just so. And that's what's happening in Uganda. The swarms have been destroying crops in Kenya, which hasn't seen such an outbreak in 70 years, as well as Somalia, Ethiopia. They haven't seen swarms this big in 25 years. What's that now?
So that happened before.
It happened 70 years ago, back when there were no cars in Somalia and Ethiopia. 25 years ago, there were probably 12 cars in all of East Africa. And there was no global warming due to whatever. All right. Any day, though, they say they will move across South Sudan, where another several million people face hunger as the country struggles to emerge from a horrible civil war. Just unbelievable. Misery on a scale that we in the West can't even comprehend. Go to Kenya, to the Hell on Earth file. The locusts are so bad in some parts of Kenya that entire fields of crops are being devoured in as little as 30 seconds. Entire farms have been destroyed in minutes. Some are thinking maybe it's a curse from God. Well, it's not a direct curse from God, but it is a result of a curse from God. The original curse, when God cursed the earth for man's sake. He made it very difficult to survive so that people would cling to each other and look to him. And those who do not, they end up with suffering on a scale that is almost incomprehensible, which is what is about to happen to Africa. What is about to happen to Africa is a result of people turning away from God and turning away from each other. That's what it's a result of. And God warned us that if you do that, you will be cursed. Yeah. The locusts are coming from places like Yemen and Somalia, where there is a war going on, of course, where there's failed states, where someone, some government, might act to stop the locusts, but they don't. That's according to the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Why don't they? It's not that they don't. It's that they can't. It's they have lost the ability to protect themselves from something as innocuous as bugs. Forget trying to protect yourself against Islamists or terrorists or criminal gangs. They can't even protect themselves from insects, for crying out loud. That's the Hell on Earth file, ladies and gentlemen, right there. And now they say that the locusts have crossed over into China. And so, well, we'll see if the Chinese can protect themselves from the bugs. The lucky thing for China is they have a lot of places that are high elevation and cold, and the locusts just can't survive up there. The poor Africans, it's like the perfect breeding ground for locusts. Just sad. But meanwhile, over in China, the coronavirus outbreak has exposed the United States' dangerous dependence on China for pharmaceutical and medical supplies. Now, I don't know if this is true. I haven't had a chance to check this out. But according to sources Breitbart has accessed, an estimated 97% of all antibiotics and 80% of the active pharmaceutical ingredients needed to produce drugs in the United States come from China. Huh. They say that this viral outbreak reveals the dangers of allowing one country to have a near monopoly, I said, on global manufacturing. Indeed. A substantial number of the materials needed for defense and electronic systems come from China, and that nation is the single or sole supplier of a number of specialty chemicals, according to a recent Defense Department report. Rare earth minerals, which we reported on right here, are largely mined in China. Chinese disruptions don't just hit Chinese manufacturing, they hit everyone. Penicillin, ibuprofen, and aspirin largely come from China. I did not know that. I would not have thought that. But now that I stop and think about it, since manufacturing everything is cheaper when you can get slaves to do it, it makes sense that almost everything ends up coming from the giant prison camp known as China, with a workforce that is enslaved to the corrupt, evil, murderous government there. The article goes on, the coronavirus offers business and governmental leaders another reason to continue the process of decoupling the U.S. economy from China. The author says if there's a silver lining, if there can be, is that this threat could inspire more diversification of supply chains. Yes, we should decouple our economy from a criminal slave state with forced labor. That's what it is in China. I know they paint a happy face on it, and you don't feel so bad about your Nikes, but trust me, it's a criminal slave state that we shouldn't be doing any business with at all. And I hope that we do decouple completely from them, although that seems highly unlikely. All right, what else? What else here? Do I have anything else to close on? No. Well, I got this article about altruism. It's not really exciting, and I thought I wasn't going to do it, but it's one final article. This is from studyfinds.org. I've gotten a couple articles down from them. The article says, most of us would like to think that people are fundamentally good. It appears from one study that babies may be instinctively altruistic. So I'm going to say something very controversial here, but I believe that people are fundamentally good. And I know that that's quite controversial, but I only think that that's true for a short time, relatively early in life, that people are fundamentally good. And the Apostle Paul even writes in the Bible that he was alive once to God before sin came. And so I think people are fundamentally good. I think the way God designed us originally was fundamentally good. But unfortunately, I think that we all become fundamentally broken at some point relatively early in life. But listen to this. Researchers studied nearly 119-month-old infants and discovered that the babies were quick to share their food with researchers even when they themselves were undoubtedly hungry. That's right. They set up a situation so they knew the kid was hungry. They gave him some food, and then they set up several scenarios where the adults made longing looks. They tried to reach for the food, but they couldn't reach it. And then the kids would give them, share their food with them. Because they're 19 months old. They're not yet corrupted by the fallen world. And then they had other scenarios where the adults seemed disinterested in the food. And then the kid would just eat the food because the kid was hungry. So, anyway, kindness toward others at one's own expense is a uniquely human trait. I disagree with that. Animals do it all the time. It is virtually unheard of across the animal kingdom. Okay, virtually unheard of means it's heard of. So that's a bit of hyperbole there. But it is more rare for animals to give up the food that they need just because others are in need. But humans seem to do that more than animals do. Way more. Okay. Anyway, so I've done that. So people are fundamentally good. You can look it up in the Bible. And then when you're in there checking that out, you can also find out why, if people are fundamentally good, why do so many bad things happen? And why do people do so many horrible, awful things to one another? And why has all of human history simply been a sequence of wars and famines and enslavement and pestilence and then a short period of relative peace and then more war and famine and pestilence? Why is that? Well, it's all in there. It's even all right there in the book of Genesis. You can pretty much find all of it. So I highly recommend it. And I thank you for tuning in. That's it. That's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life and at Real Science Radio. Go check it out on the radio every Friday. Or at KGOV.com. Check it out. I want to thank my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. And should the Lord tarry, we will return next week, hoping to get back on a regular schedule. Don't know if we'll be able to pull it off, but we're going to try. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.